All right. It's 2 o'clock, so we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And if everybody could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lynn, did we have any requests for public participation?
No, sir.
Thank you. And if you wouldn't mind doing the roll call.
Trustee Dye.
Here.
Trustee Howard.
Here.
Trustee Quiatek.
Here.
Trustee Lloyd.
Here.
Trustee Lubai.
Here.
Trustee Lupoli.
Here.
It's a full house. Does anybody have anything on the consent agenda they would like to pull or discuss? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda passes. For information only, you've got some agreements and surplus donations in your board docs as usual. And with that, I will hand it over to Dr. Labasso.
Great. Well, thank you again, everyone involved in the ribbon cutting event. Pretty neat to see a 1974 building transformed to 2026. And you know that building should serve another 50 years. So really nice to see that happen. Well, I'm going to start off. Well, let me just a couple of regular updates that I have here. You know, we've been active, went down, Dr. Howard and I did the trip down to Miami for the summit. And if you saw in the paper, the governor signed the bill for state colleges and universities to participate, if you choose to, in the Guardian program. So we had that. Thank you, everyone, for another great commencement ceremony. Ran really well. AS degree certificate was, you know, I have to get the official notice, but it's got to be the largest ever that we graduated. Really, really great to see those AS. And those AS degrees, as you know, are degrees designed to support direct workforce. So these are your techs and things like that in a lot of them. So great to see that there. We participated in the March to Stop Suicide sponsored dinner here. We hosted them on campus. Always good to have that group here on campus. We had our Songwriters Festival. From my standpoint, it looks like it's probably a record for you. The
yes.
crowd looked just looked full, and the venue. You know, certainly the improvement we did there has lent itself to a great event there. We had our Cork and Fork fundraiser in the spring for the foundation, and that was another record number of people there. How many people did we have, Kristen? 450 people. I mean, it was, and again, it just gets better and better each year. I mean, I don't know that we can fit another person. It was just that full. So that was a great event. We had our annual athletic banquet, so it's always good to, you know, wrap up, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, what was a great year for Daytona State Athletics. Yesterday I was able to participate in a tour with the Florida Commerce and Select Florida group that helps, you know, guide businesses to different locations. So we had them at the ATC, got to showcase, you know, all we do at the ATC and talk about our role in economic development. And I always enjoy doing that kind of work because it's easy to say what we do to help the workforce because we do so much of it. So so that was a real good, productive meeting. And I'm actually going to have someone else coming in to tour the ATC, a prospective company. I'll be meeting with them tomorrow as well. So that was going really well. That's going really well. So with that, I'm going to transition to these trophies that are sitting right here. Mm-hmm. So this year we have 12 teams. We had 5 of our 12 teams in the national championship.
Here, here.
3 of them winning. So think about 5 out of 12. That's, you know, that's just, I mean, you're lucky when you get one of your sports. So I'm going to start off, and I'm going to have Coach Brown, could you come on up and stand next to your trophy, your 12th trophy? Our women's golf team won their 12th national championship, and they beat Odessa Community College, which was the champ from last year. Wow. And the team was ranked number 2 in the country going into the championship. And I'm going to stop there because I don't want to take – I'm going to have Coach Brown, Laura Brown, if you know Coach Laura Brown, describe the championship round there and – kind of bring us to the to where we got to the end. So go ahead, Coach.
Well, first of all, we went to the Quad Cities this year, which is our first time in that area, and the golf course there was absolutely phenomenal. They used to host a PGA Tour event there, the John Deere Classic. So the players got to play a really great venue, great conditions, which are pretty comparable to what we play on here at Plantation Bay, which continued. Thank you for your support there. But we had a great week there. The weather was beautiful for the most part, except for Tuesday and Wednesday. It was really windy, about 30 miles an hour, so it was very challenging. But we went back and forth with the number one team. It was pretty much a two-man race the whole time. And it just, we'd be up by 2 one day, down by 1. Going into last day, we were down by 2, and we made up the 2 shots, and it basically came down to the very last hole, the very last player, and the last final putt. Oh. So it was super exciting. And riveting. We had live scoring, and I had one extra player with me, and she's in the cart, and she's constantly refreshing. And I could just tell by the look on her face, and I'd be like, what happened? And one of our players actually just went, she was on fire the last day. She was 6-under through 12 holes. Ooh. And it just really... put us in the lead by about 5, but coming down the stretch, a couple of them made a couple double bogeys. Going in the last hole, we had a one-shot lead, and it really seriously came down to the last kid putting the final putt. So wow. It was super exciting, probably one of the best national championships I've been involved with as far as that excitement factor, and they were just over the moon, because going in, Odessa was the favorite by a lot. They've been ranked number 1 since last year. They won the championship last year by 18 shots. They had beat us by 27 last year. So, and they had all their same players back. So for us to hang with them and get them by a shot was great.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I mean, that's got to be.
It is. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah. And we also had 2 of our players finish 2nd and 3rd in the event, which is great. Yeah. They were first team All-Americans.
Very good.
Excellent.
Thank you. It was great. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I was following it and I saw the headline, where it said, it's a 2-team race, Daytona State down by 2, in the opening round. I was like, I kept getting, give me updates. And then I see that we won. It was just like, wow. And then I didn't know initially, but then I found out like last hole, last stroke. So, that's got to be
funny story. So we had live scoring. So you could refresh and see, but at the end it showed us one shot up, but live scoring can make mistakes. So one of my kids, each day on the second hole, they'd put her down for a 6 and she had made a 3 or a 4. And I caught it during the round and corrected it, but I told them, you need to wait till it has an F for finished, because you don't want to celebrate and then be tied or,
Right,
so
right.
We had to stand around for about 5 minutes before they knew for sure. it was good. And then obviously they dosed me with water, which was great.
Right.
But yeah, it was super fun. And it was, like I said, probably one of the best experiences in recent history that I can think of as far as the excitement factor.
And every girl is from Florida.
Every girl's from Florida, yep.
Incredible.
Yeah. That's awesome. So it's Florida beats the world.
Well, right? And all their players, every single one of them was international.
Right.
Oh, they didn't have any U.S. kids.
Yeah.
So that was a little satisfying as well.
Yeah. Nice. So that's, you have the whole world to choose from and pick and recruit. But that's when it comes down to, good coaching. So
Thank you.
Brian Colubiali, come on up, our head women's flag football coach. So this is Brian's second year. He started the program with us, and the women's flag football team ended their 2nd regular season as runner-ups in the region play. They finished, they made it to the region championship game and came runner-ups. Went to national tournament in Chicago and ran the table in the tournament and faced, again, Florida Gateway College in the national championship and fell short. But nothing short but of a great, great year. And, Brian, you want to kind of give us a summary of, from your lens, what took place?
Well, we first day we played two teams and we beat them pretty good for pool play. And then we went into the semifinals the next day, another shutout game, beat them there, and then we went to the finals, played Florida Gateway. We've lost five games all season, four of them to Florida Gateway. Oh. So that's the one team that we just can't get over that hurdle. And we lost him last year in Nationals as well.
Yeah, and I believe they, in the Region 8 tournament, the championship game, we only lost 7-0. I saw their president the other day, and he's like, he said, yeah, he goes, after that result at the Region 8, he goes, I was really getting nervous. I'm like, yeah. Well, we're catching you. We're getting there.
We're getting there. That game, it was 0-0 going into the 2 minutes left in the game, and they scored right at the end. And
yeah.
We had our opportunities early, and we had a snap over our head and brought us back 20 yards, and that was hard to recover from. So
yeah.
The championship game didn't go quite as well. We weren't as pumped up as we were for that championship game.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Sebastian Morales, come on up. We're going to talk a little bit of esports. Our Rocket League captured their third national championship with a commanding 4-0 victory over Heartland Community College in the grand finals. And Sebastian, tell us a little bit about your run up to that.
First of all, it's just a pleasure to even be able to do this here at the college, running the esports program, being able to do what I do and, you know, put students through school from gaming. We're easily the number one junior college Rocket League team in all of North America. They do include Canada in a lot of these rankings and stuff. In the NJCAA, we beat every single team. We didn't lose a single game the entire season throughout the playoffs, including the national championship too. And we're also the only junior college to be in the top 48 power rankings, and that includes all colleges and universities in U.S. and Canada.
Great. How many total in the esports, not just Rocket League, but total do we have on the team?
I'd say 25
players. Great, great. Well,
is that three in a row, or is it?
We missed last year or last semester.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, congrats.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
How about a picture with the coaches and the board members behind on the trophies?
Yeah.
He just wants the ring.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, do not show the ring because it's going to blind my camera lines.
Right. All right, so coaches, you get behind the trophies and we'll get behind you. How's that?
Yeah, sounds good.
That's
right.
So,
let's
do a line. Standing between our line here. A line going that way.
Okay.
That way.
Okay.
And then we're
going to
have
our
trophies and stand
up.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
See?
Oh, they're moving.
Yeah.
Back here?
No. Yep.
Makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And then we'll move people around so we can make sure they can be seen. Over here? All right, as long as you can see me, I can see you.
We should be nervous.
I think so.
All right, on three. One, two, three.
Ready?
Thank you.
Congratulations again, Coach.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Marty, did you win this year?
I left the trophy in the trophy
case.
We're
going to
next.
Congratulations.
Whoops. I do. Sorry. Don't want to hit the trophy.
It's so big. Can't miss it.
It's sort of like Tom's ring.
That's right.
Hey, Tom, could you keep your hand down.
Yeah, try to see
the light shining off of it.
Yeah. All righty. So we have a request to do a one-year extension on our strategic plan called Leading the Way. This, you know, I think as we talked about before, we're in the process of going to a new accrediting agency, so this will help that whole process and applying for that.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Consider it extended.
That concludes my report.
Great, thank you. Move on to finance.
Just for fun.
There you go.
Dollars.
Okay.
Okay. Good afternoon. Yeah, it's becoming harder and harder to follow up these athletic teams, Will. but we'll. I think Dr. Howard missed the last meeting where I did bring up our certificate where Mr. Alan Masters presented the finance and accounting with the top ranked in the United States, I think it was, not just the state of Florida. So I did get some recognition, just not a external body. All right. Let's roll right into the financial report. This is for the period ending April 30th, 2026, just 2 months remaining of our fiscal year. And we're looking pretty good. Here's our revenue, budget to actual. So as you can see, we've now collected $32 million, or 95% of our tuition and fee revenue, $52.3 million, or 81% of our state revenues, $4.3 million, or 83% of our other revenue sources, and $7.7 million, or 100% of our board-approved transfers. So in total, the college has collected $96.3 million, or 86% of our operational budget of a $111.7 million. So right on target. You know, with 2 months to go, we're essentially 83% through the fiscal year. Our revenues come in very, very consistent month to month, as you can see. So some of them are right at that 83%. We want tuition and fees to be above that, and it is at 95%. So that's a good sign. So very good. I'm pleased with the revenues through April 30th. Moving over to our expenditure budget, also looking pretty good. We've now expended $63.6 million, or 77% of our personnel budget. We've obligated $20.8 million, or 81% of our current expense budget. Of that amount, actual expenditures are $17.8 million, and the remainder is encumbered at $3 million. We've obligated $2.2 million of our capital outlay budget. Of that amount, $1.8 million has been expended, with $336,000 still encumbered with open purchase orders. So through April 30th, we've obligated a total of $86.6 million, or 78% of the overall budget. And if you take away the encumbrances, the bottom part there of actual expenditures to date are the $83.2 million, or 75% of our budget. So again, looking like we'll come in, you know, under our expense budget, which is great, and hopefully over our revenue budget. So both equations are working out in our favor. We've seen this slide each month. This is our carry forward funds, our fund balance, which helps that whole equation. When we come in better each year, we're able to sock away a little bit into our fund balance reserves in Fund One. As you can see, we started the year with $23.6 million. Of that, 5%, or $6.7 million, is our state required reserve. Board designated reserves of $1.6 million. Unallocated reserves of $12.5 million, roughly. And then we had our year-end encumbrances and rollover of required designations of $2.7 million total. So our net projected fund balance through April 30th is the $25.4 million, or 21%. Okay, this compares our budget to actual of our revenues year over year. As you can see, we've now collected 86% of our overall budget this year, and last year at the same point in time, we collected 87% of our revenues. This is our three-year analysis of tuition and student tuition and fees. You can see we're doing quite well here. The current year, we're at just over $32 million. Keep in mind, I've reminded you the last couple of meetings that the current year now includes dual enrollment tuition because of GASB 103. The new standard requires us to categorize that as tuition and fees. So if you were to take the amount collected related to dual enrollment, which I think is just the fall semester so far because it's about half of the overall $2 million dual enrollment budget, we've collected $980,000 of that. So if you take that off of the $32 million just to compare apples to apples with each of the years, we'd be at just over $31 million, and that would still have us over last year's total tuition and fees of about $1.4 million. Or just under 5% up of, you know, so the blended increase in revenue related to tuition fees is about just under 5%. So again, we budgeted 3% off of actuals, you'll recall last year, so we're, you know, essentially 2% ahead of that target.
You don't Randy. Have to go back to the slide, but you said you collected I believe it was 95 or 96% of the tuition to date. Is that a projected collection or is it actually collected? And the reason I ask that question is because we know that you write some stuff off.
That's a fair question. It's revenue. So the way we record revenue is when a student registers for courses, we book the student receivable and associated revenue. So it's not necessarily cash collections. It truly is a revenue. So there might be receivables that ultimately turn into bad debts. And as our policy, we write those off when they become 3 years old and we go through the collections and notifications and so forth. So, yeah,
okay.
It's from a revenue, not a cash standpoint.
Thank you. Yep.
Okay. And the last part of Fund 1 here is our expenditure budget to actual year over year. Also quite consistent. Our personnel were at 77% expended at this juncture. Last year at the same time was 78%. Current expenses, we had 81%, have 81% obligated through April 30th. Last year through April was 82%. And our capital outlay budget, we're at 50% obligated currently versus 62% last year through April. All right, now we'll shift over to our Fund 7, Capital Projects and Construction Facilities area. Again, all of our control accounts where our funding lives. At the bottom corner there, you'll see just over $23 million available balance. And easier way to look at this is the beginning. We started the year with just over $35.5 million roughly. We brought in another $7.7 million. We've now obligated $20.1 million with projects and payroll that's charged here. Of that amount, we've expended $17.6 million roughly. And the remaining $2.5 million is still encumbered. So that brings us down to that same bottom line that I just showed you, just over $23 million of the net fund balance per this date. Of that amount, we've got $12.5 million of that is committed to projects. And uncommitted and available is about another $10.5 million. Okay. So now we'll look at these are all our active projects, and I was just able to squeeze it onto one slide, and that's a good sign. That means some moved over to the completed project slide, which we'll see here in a moment. So currently we have 13 still major projects that are active, coming in at an estimated cost of $56.1 million. I don't believe there was any new projects added from the last board report, so these are the 13 major in progress as we speak. And now our completed projects has almost caught up. We got 12 projects have been completed this fiscal year. And I can tell you the bottom three have shifted over since the last board report. That's the land tactical training pavilion, PT track and driving pad, wrapped it up in April. Auto collision program, the funding we got there for modernization, we've got that one wrapped up in April as well. And then the cybersecurity facility and equipment, we really had done that skiff some time ago. We just had some extra funds from the PICO appropriation that we were able to utilize on some related related expenditures with that whole project. So at this point, we've now gotten through. I think it was $500,000 that was dedicated to that project. We've got it all spent and drawn down at this point. So that concludes the monthly report, unless there's any questions or comments. Okay. So moving over to our informational board item, all payments greater than $50,000 for the month of April. Again, this could be any method of payment, checks, ACH, wires, and nothing ordinary on the list here. And my final item, you'll recall, because we do it annually, is the recertification agreement between our DSOs, the Foundation and Housing Corporation, and the College Board of Trustees. Per statute, as described here, we're required to bring utilization of common personnel and space of those DSOs to this board for ratification and approval. So that's what we're doing here. In your packet, there was the supporting document showed the outline of the personnel that we're charging to each of the DSOs, their percentages of time, what their position titles were, and then diagrams of the square footage of the office space where those folks reside as well. So I can tell you, yesterday the Foundation Board approved it at their level. This morning the Housing Corporation Board approved theirs at that board meeting. And now it's brought to the Board of Trustees here for your consideration.
Got a motion? So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Board. So we're here today to close out a couple more projects, which is good news. So the first one is the project that you guys saw last week, which was the Gail Limeron Athletic Center, the remodel over there with Bomar Construction. We have a remaining balance of $63,239.95, and we are recommending that the board approve final payment on this project.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right. We also had the building 320, which is the health science hall. We did a full envelope remodel of that building utilizing Western Specialty Contractors. The remaining balance on that project is $86,638.40. That project two is complete, and we're recommending the payment to Western Specialty Contractors to close out that project.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Real brief before you leave. Yeah. Did they come in on budget, both those projects?
Yeah. Both were hard bid.
Yep.
And we both came, yep. We came in on a project on both of them. Okay. Yes, on budget. Yeah.
All right.
Is that better? Still says do not move up here. Okay. We have one item for academic affairs. You may recall that last August we brought forward the general education list for your review and approval for the 26-27 academic year. We are bringing it back. The state Board of Education during April voted to have the introduction to sociology course that we had kept in our institutional general education package to have that removed. From the general education package for all of, whether it was, it already came out of the state, you might remember a couple years ago, now it came out of the institutional core. So we have updated our list, and that list is here for your review as well as approval for this new list for effect this coming fall and for 26-27 for the academic year. You'll see this item come back in August for the 27-28. So lest you think we just keep changing the gen ed, this is the only change.
A motion? So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, constituent heads. We're going to have Antonio Valley up first for SGA.
Good afternoon. It is wonderful to be back again. I know I normally save this for the end, but it really is a great day to be a Falcon. Feels like every time I come in here, we keep getting better and better and better. So, great way to start the day. But first off, we had a beautiful movie night. I don't know if you've ever seen this film. It is a great film. We had it on May 4th. May the 4th be with you. I didn't get the chance to see this at the school, but I have previously seen that, and the students were in for a treat. So it was a wonderful night. Next up, we did have the Singer-Songwriter Festival. Of course, the student government was there. Thank you again for those tickets. We loved attending. We'll be back next year. It was fantastic. We had the auction, the memorial. It's a great time had by all. Then, of course, commencement. This was amazing. I was honored. I was able to speak and be there and see all of my friends graduate. I do want to specifically highlight all the student government officers who were there behind the scenes. They worked all day. They were making sure everything went well. So my appreciation is shout out to them. And then, of course, we have completely finished our elections. We have our new officers. They're in office. We're going to be doing our training over the summer. That'll be coming up on the next slide. We have Autumn Demarest. She's our new executive vice president. Tristan Hoff-Pair is our executive treasurer. Yali Santos, or Yaya, is our senator of student activities. And Ava Illick is our senator of academic affairs and student services. And we do have our summer training coming up. So we'll be doing 5 different training days. The first 2 in June are going to be a little bit shorter. They're essentially going to be mock meetings. We're going to make sure that they're all prepared. They know how our hour logging works. They know how their binders work. Just make sure they're ready to fulfill all of their responsibilities. And then 3 days in August are going to be a little bit longer. We can go over professionalism, making sure that they're ready to step in that role and represent the students at the school. And then, of course, we do have a few goals for our fall semester coming up. So we're going to be doing some introduction videos for all the new officers and also some of our returning officers, make sure that all the students really get to know them. They're already pretty well established on campus, but we want to make sure that every single student has the opportunity to meet those new officers. And then, of course, we're going to have some new committees. Of course, with our previous officers leaving, we have those new officers stepping into those roles in those committees. And then finally, we want to establish some meeting locations on those other campuses. Previously, we were doing it where students could join through Teams and watch online. But we want to create a space where they can easily walk into that room on their campus and sit down and get to watch it on the big screen and have a microphone so they can easily participate in that conversation. They have the chance to speak out instead of having to send it through the text message like they previously have. So just giving them a way to easily communicate, even if they're not physically on this campus. Of course, that ends my presentation, and we will have the new pictures up as soon as those officers swear in and our training days are done. Thank you very much, and of course, again, it's a great day to be a Falcon.
Thank you, Antonio. And for Administrative Council, we have Rachel Dougherty.
Good afternoon. We have not met since April, but we did complete our elections for Administrators Council, and I have been able to notify the new vice chair, and so I am so happy that Dave Tatum, who is the director of our IT Project Management and Help Desk, is our new vice chair, so I'm very excited to start working with him. And Lisa Sagunro, who is the director of Accounting and Restricted Funds, remains as our treasurer, so I'm excited to have her back as well for this year. And also for the next year, a new bylaw that passed includes a service committee, so I'm looking forward to seeing how we can get administrators involved with the community and continue the DSC days of service. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. And John Penny for the Career and Professional Employees Council.
It was great to get to look at the new building or the revamped building. It's hard to believe my office used to be in there. Quite a change, very nice. As far as the council goes, we have our elections next week, so looking forward to announcing those results next month.
Thank you, John. Mike Float, who's the chair of social sciences, used to be in that building, and you know, we moved the faculty and staff to Building 150, you know, and deciding what we want to do. They were like, no, we're happy there. You know, we don't need to go back to that building. Mike's in the tour today. Goes, we should have put dibs on this building. So, anyway, that concludes the constituent reports.
Great, thank you. I have two items for your consideration today. The first is the annual amendment to Tom's contract. If I could get a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The second is the approval of our meeting schedule for the next fiscal year.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. And with that, we'll move into the time reserved for the board members. So I was just looking at the mission statement, thinking about what I was going to talk about. And, you know, I always like the few core words in there about founded with innovation and continuous improvement and access to educational programs that change lives. And if you think about some of the things that we saw or heard about today, and they all fit right in with that. So start with athletics. And, well, I'm sorry I missed your dedication at this quite the impressive floor and well-deserved for all you've done for the college. So congrats on that. But, I mean, what an amazing feat. 5 teams making out of 12. So that's almost 50%. And then 3 winning. So that's 25%. I don't know if you have the statistician around, but that's got to be close to a record for colleges at any level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's phenomenal. And what's amazing is it's not just about the athletics. It's the things that are in that mission statement there. We're transforming these kids' lives in the classroom, but giving them an opportunity to compete at that level. And Tom and I were talking about where some of these young men and women are going after they finish the 2-year program here. And it's an amazing list of impressive colleges and universities where they're going on to finish their academic career and then, you know, on to their success in life and in the workforce. So kudos to the athletic department for taking good care of our kids, both in the classroom and on the field. The building today, that's no better definition of the, you know, continuous improvement and innovation. And Kelly, make sure you pass on our thanks to all of your people that showed up today. That was an impressive turnout. And we're clearly looking at things that, again, transform the lives of our students, but also the communities. We're, number 2 in the state now, we heard, in terms of quantity produced, and I'm guessing Kelly and company would say it's still not enough. So
yeah.
we keep needing to put our pedal to the gas and produce even more. And then finally, I'll just mention, and Dr. LaBosse already talked about the meeting in Miami. The one thing I will pass on, and of course the board already knows this, but you know everybody around the room too, I had the fortune of sitting, of course, I had to sit next to Tom, so I'm not sure that was fortunate. But at our table, we had 3 of probably the, I won't say oldest since Tom was among them, I'll say the most seasoned college presidents across the system.
What a dance.
And, yeah. And it's amazing the respect that they all have for Tom as a person and for the college as a college. And you see that not just from the other presidents that I was sitting with, but also from the administration and Kathy Hebda, what's her title, Vice Chancellor?
Chancellor.
So, you know, always asking his opinion or how he did something or could they come visit and look at how he was able to do this or do that. And Tom would be quick to tell you it's not just Tom. It's the supporting cast around the room. But we are very blessed in terms of leadership. From Tom and from everybody in the room and from those not in the room. So appreciate all you do each and every year to deliver the kind of results that you guys talk about for us. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Vice Chair Lloyd.
All right. Thank you. And I'll follow on your theme because I look at that mission statement and I look at innovation at its core with a culture of continuous improvement. And boy, does this May really exemplify that mission statement, that part of the mission statement. When we think about the commencement exercises last week, and, you know, that's our payment, that's our reward. When you see that many graduates and their enthusiasm, it's exhilarating. It's great to see that, and it's the fulfillment of the mission. And listening to some things recently about the state of higher education and particularly the trades and what's happening in our country, you know, ribbon cuttings aren't just ceremonial. They should be a signal that you're moving forward. You're constantly moving forward. Continuous improvement and innovation. And so the Quanta Honors and Health Building, the programs in there, it's continually improving and building. It's not just the shiny new classrooms. It's what's going to happen in there for the next several decades. And to see those graduates and to see the programs that are there, to see that we're voting on two final payments for projects that are moving us forward all the time, you know, looking at new projects, looking at new programs, looking at how we can fit not as education and not as our nation's needs are today, but as they're going to be tomorrow and in the coming decades. And that is important because those that don't are going to be extinct. And so, you know, it's not just fulfilling the mission statement. It's really setting the trend, setting the pace. And so, you know, kudos and congratulations to everybody. It's like I love this May meeting because we do have a lot to celebrate. And I look forward to the August meeting when we kick off another great year. So with that, I'll turn it over.
Well, I think this has been a good week, and to celebrate athletic championships, I think it's interesting because when you think of a college the size of this, you don't necessarily think about athletic excellence. But I think it's part of the story here. People like to be part of a winner, even though they may not compete necessarily on that specific team, it still creates a winning culture. And so this place has a winning culture just about every place you turn. And I appreciate that. It's more than just celebrating the trophies and taking the pictures. It's really what it says about the entire organization. So that's a lot of fun. I can't thank Bob enough for badgering me into my first graduation ceremony a bit back. And because it's really, truly, it is very exciting. It's fulfilling. To stand there, to sit and watch, and of course Kelly was very distracting, so I don't, you know, I had to keep telling her to pay attention. But but when you get down there and you get to shake hands with all the graduates and you know the hoots and hollers from the people in the crowd, it's just you know you're doing something good. So I appreciate that. And most recently this week, I had to be before the county council on behalf of Team Volusia, and we. Basically, I would just say we gave a summary report as to what our activities are and what we're doing. And, you know, they were talking about education, and it was really good for me to be able to. I took full advantage of the opportunity to do a Daytona State College commercial for workforce and how important it really is to the economic development picture that we're all doing around here. You know, I know you entertain those people. I entertain them in the morning. And then they went on about, saw some places in our community, and they were very impressed by what we do. And to be able to go before that county council and without qualification, without hesitation, talk about what we do here to make that all possible it's pretty gratifying. So it's been a great week to be a Falcon.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, yes, I agree with all of you so far. Having the athletic achievements, I throw the cork and fork in, is a great event we've had recently. And also then commencement, I mean, does it get any better? I think it does, because today's opening of the Health Sciences Center for Halifax is huge. We hire about 218, I think was our how many nurses we got to hire last year. And the partnership, just from my perspective, between Daytona State and Halifax is one of a kind. We have made legislative bills talking about our relationship, its longevity, and all those things. And so to get to be in a state-of-the-art building that is doing all the things for the innovation and moving forward in progress and doing it for these students that then graduate and pass the NCLEX, you know, 98-99% of the time, what wonderful things that we're doing for our community. And so I just want to thank, kind of with my Halifax hat on, thank all of everyone in this room for that partnership over a long period of time. And so, yeah, I mean, is it a great to be a Falcon? Absolutely.
Gary. So now, just want to say again about Will Dunn. I mean, talk about well done. You know, going out with five championship games in his final year as the athletic director. That's got to be sweet. And but you really have. You've done such a great job. And the way those students perform in the classroom as well, those athletes, it's a testimony to the coaches, to the entire staff, and to the students themselves as well, you know, because their efforts. Bob, what you were talking about with the buildings and all that, and I think back, Tom, over these last 12 years now, all the different buildings that we've renovated and not just, I mean, made them more effective for the students, but also for the staff. And the building that we walked through today, I remember when we walked through it a couple months ago and some of the staff talking about if we can see outside now. We know if it's raining or it's sunny. You know, that's amazing. But also, too, the graduation ceremony is, you think about the transformation of those people's lives. And, Tom, you and I were talking about this, I think, back around after the ceremony. We were trying to think. I remember back several years ago we talked about the number of students that this is the first generation that is graduating from college in their families. And you think about transforming not just that student's life, but also their families' lives for generations to come, potentially. And that gives great meaning for what we get to do here, but also for what we, you know, end up as an end result, to see those students graduate and see their pride and sometimes excitement. Sometimes they do backflips every now and then as they're walking up there. But at the end of the day, how we've changed some families' lives here in this community. And it's a pretty good percentage, Tom, as I recall, that we have that are our first generation. And so with that, I say kudos. And, Tom, thank you for your leadership.
What a beautiful ceremony today. What an incredible building. I think, you know, when, like, how often are we the patient? And that is going to be your nurse. And you see the kind of training that a lot of these students are getting. It's, you know, at some point it's you who needs their help. And how wonderful to graduate over 400, like, practice-ready nurses. That's incredible and something to be so proud of. And the classrooms upstairs, the collaborative nature of these new classrooms, like, kind of makes you want to go back to school. I mean, it's so exciting. It's so cool. You know, you've the floor-to-ceiling windows. I mean, it was incredible. So thank you for letting us be a part of that. That was awesome. And this was my first commencement this year attending. And Bob had told me and Kelly had told me, like, just wait. I mean, it's just there's something special about commencement, and it was such a privilege to get to be there and to shake hands and to see the families, and like you could see from their faces that they like the pride that was oozing from them. It was palpable, and it was a really cool thing to get to be a part of that, and it gives me chills. Feel so lucky to have that opportunity, so thank you. And at the end of the day, it's all about the students. And all of these wonderful things are happening under your leadership, Tom. So many thanks to you and to the whole team. And Lynn, you kept me in line at graduation commencement. You told me where to stand and how to do and where to be. And you are such a rock star. So thank you to you for just keeping us all in line. I appreciate it so much. Lynn always makes sure that you know everything you need to know.
That's right.
That's for sure.
I've got other nicknames for Lynn.
Well, before I adjourn, I for my board members' sake, I'll have to say that when Randy said Kelly was a distraction, I immediately didn't believe him, and I was going to side with Kelly. Yeah. But I think the minutes will reflect that Kelly said, and I quote, "I agree with everything Randy said." I now know that Kelly was a distraction.
That's true.
When she said it, I was over here going, yeah.
On a serious note, again, just thanks to the board for, yeah, we had great turnout at graduation, and that means a lot, I think, to the students, too, to see us up there. And so
yeah.
Thanks for that, and thanks for all being here today. And with that, the meeting adjourned.
Good, thank you.